is but the sound of the singing engulfed them. What kind of kirtan is this? Prabhupada asked. They are making so much noise. They are chanting your name. Chitsukananda said. And he went out to try to calm the crowd. But finding them overwhelmed with chanting Prabhupada's name, he returned to Prabhupada's room. Prabhupada, he said, they want to see you. Well, let them come, Śrīla Prabhupāda replied. The devotees arranged that everyone could come and see Prabhupada one at a time. Through the two doors to his room, it was arranged that the people come in a line, enter in one door and leave from the other to return downstairs. One by one they came through in a great procession. After bowing down with awe and respect for the great saint who had entered among them, they would speak a few words in Spanish. What are they saying? Prabhupada asked the devotees. Give me a blessing, a benediction, a Mexican devotee replied. Prabhupada, his index finger protruding from his bead bag, began to point to each person as they approached him and say, Hare Krishna. They were all very happy. June 5th. Early the next morning, Prabhupada asked Chitsukananda, what we'll do today? We've arranged the program in a nearby city, Chuernavacha, said Chitsukananda. We have the use of the whole central plaza. They have given it for your lecture. They have microphones and a stage and everything all ready for you to come. Oh, this is very nice, Prabhupada said. Then he was scheduled to give another lecture at a big hotel in Cuernavaca. Chitsukananda continued, and then we can go to Lakshmi Priya's Dasi's house where we can take some prasadam. Yes, this is very nice. Let us go. Srila Prabhupada took a light breakfast and left for Cuernavaca by car. On the way, one of the devotees explained to him that Cuernavaca, with its scenic location in the mountains, was a favorite place for writers and artists, including Americans. When Prabhupada arrived, several hundred people were gathered in the main plaza of the city. The crowd was varied, tourists taking photographs, farmers, hippies, shoppers, artists, and businessmen. After a kirtana, the devotees introduced Srila Prabhupada, who sat on stage before a large sign bearing the Mahamantra. While a devotee held an umbrella over Prabhupada's head to protect him from the blazing noon sun, Srila Prabhupada spoke. We are not hippies, he said. We are happies. The devotee's happiness, he said, comes from associating with Krishna, the reservoir of happiness, through chanting Hare Krishna and through eating prasadam. Many people began nodding their heads in agreement. Then he asked everyone to repeat the Hare Krishna mantra. Many did. Suddenly, Prabhupada saw Hai Hai arriving with newly printed copies of La Conciencia de Krishna es el Sistema más elevado de Yoga. Krishna Consciousness is the topmost yoga system. Hai Hai had just gotten the books from the printer that day, and Prabhupada was very happy to see them. Interrupting his lecture, he said, now you can all take one of these books and read them. The people actually came forward on Prabhupada's word and began to take the books. Hai Hai had only brought about 50 copies, but Prabhupada sold all of them. The people took the liberty of asking him for an autograph book, and he signed everyone. Immediately after the plaza lecture, Srila Prabhupada went to the Casino de la Salva. With no sign of fatigue, Srila Prabhupada lectured on the fundamental philosophy of Krishna consciousness. The audience was particularly interested in Hatha Yoga and Theosophy, and Srila Prabhupada carefully answered their questions, introducing them to the elements of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada was next supposed to go to Lakshmi Priya Das's home to take prasadam and rest, but he decided to return to the Mexico City temple. The devotees drove him back, arriving around 8 p.m. From 8 in the morning until 8 p.m., he had taken only water. The devotees offered him fruit, but he refused it. He sat in his room, his eyes bright, his face blissful. This is the way to be happy, he said. Work all day for Krishna. Prabhupada asked for a cup of hot milk and puris with sugar. Receiving these, he crushed the puris into the sugar and drank the milk. A few devotees, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. The few devotees sitting in with him were enthralled to see Prabhupada's transcendental happiness. This is our life, to serve Krishna, he said. Work all day for Krishna and take a little prasada at night. June 6th. Before 100 students in an auditorium at the National University of Mexico, Prabhupada described the student's life as one of struggle. A student has to study diligently to keep from failing, and then, after graduation, he has to work hard for his food and other necessities. Material life is therefore always a struggle, ending in death. But the human being should ask why he has to endure all these struggles and sufferings, and how he can become free of them. The auditorium was quiet, the students listening attentively as Srila Prabhupada spoke. But when he asked for questions, a communist yelled out, "Where do you get the money to pay for your food if you are so renounced? I think you belong to the CIA." A few other radicals also began calling out challenges. Prabhupada promptly replied through his translator that because this university did not educate its students in the science of God, it was producing atheist demons. Further comments from the radical students were overpowered by the audience applause. Srila Prabhupada called for kirtan and prasadam distribution, and the formal program ended. Many interested persons approached Srila Prabhupada asking further questions through Hanuman Goswami, who translated. Others sat taking prasadam. Several hours later, Srila Prabhupada left. The university incident typified the response of the Mexican people to Srila Prabhupada. With a few exceptions, the people appreciated his work and the purity of his movement. As Prabhupada has said, the people were simple and pious. Many still lived in the villages and were similar to the people of India. Prabhupada also remarked that the Mexicans were Shudras and they were being saved by Lord Chaitanya's mercy. The Masonic Lodge is a very popular among respectable people in Mexico, particularly government officials, politicians, and intellectuals. A devotee whose father was a Mason arrived for Prabhupada, arranged for Prabhupada to speak at a prestigious Tuesday night gathering. It was a regularly scheduled meeting with some 60 members dressed in the uniform of the club. The devotees held kirtan, and then Srila Prabhupada spoke in English while Chitsukananda translated each phrase as Prabhupada taught. Prabhupada spoke on the meaning and application of Varnashrama Dharma, stressing the necessity of religion in all positions of society. The audience, immediately accepting Srila Prabhupada's authority and scholarship, asked intelligent questions, and at the conclusion of Prabhupada's talk, they stood and applauded. One official spontaneously glorified Prabhupada, praising his logic and his erudition. The lodge members, deciding to give Srila Prabhupada a monetary donation, passed around a basket and presented the collection to Srila Prabhupada. Only a few devotees had been able to attend the meeting, but upon returning to the temple, one of them told the others, "Prabhupada had the right answer every time. At the very moment he was asked about the philosophy or about life or about anything, everyone was impressed." June 7th. On Wednesday afternoon, Srila Prabhupada left Mexico City and flew to Puerto Vallarta on the Pacific coast. Danny, a wealthy race car driver and friend of the Mexico City Temple, owned a luxurious villa in the mountains overlooking the ocean. He had invited Srila Prabhupada and several devotees to spend a few peaceful days there before Srila Prabhupada left for Los Angeles. A neighbor had cows, and the devotees brought one up to show Prabhupada. "Why do they have milk from the cow and then kill her?" Prabhupada asked. "Just like I am giving you something valuable every day, but when I cannot give you any more one day, then you put the knife in my throat. This is not right. After a mild rain, the sky cleared. Srila Prabhupada sat outdoors on the terrace until sunset. His disciples seated at his feet, chanting. The atmosphere was calm, and beyond the line of palm tree, the devotees could see the sun sinking into the ocean. As darkness came, mosquitoes began to bite. Prabhupada, Chitsukananda asked, "You're not getting bitten by mosquitoes?" "No." "They sure are biting me," said Chitsukananda. "Most likely because you're a pure devotee and I'm not pure. That's why the mosquitoes are biting me." "Maybe," Prabhupada said. "Here they are respectful, but in Calcutta they make no distinctions." The devotees ask Srila Prabhupada questions about preaching. Since so many people they met were practicing Hatha Yoga, they ask how to change the people's minds. Prabhupada said, "Let them do it, engage them in service also, and they'll become purified." Another devotee asks, "Srila Prabhupada, people are always asking me whether I've been to India. They think that if I'm teaching yoga, I should have gone to India." "You just tell them that India has come to you," Srila Prabhupada replied. The devotees looked at Prabhupada with great admiration. Yes, Prabhupada was India. India personified, sitting before them. But he was more than just India. He was the spiritual world. All they knew of the spiritual world, and he had come for them. Right, we finished the chapter. Shall we continue a little more? Yeah. Chapter 64. Zurich and New York, April 1973. Srila Prabhupada was staying in Bombay. Besides his own preaching and his translating of Srimad Bhagavatam, he was also pursuing the long, drawn-out case to secure the land at Juhu Beach. It was a time in his life that he spent mostly in India with frequent trips to the West. The Krishna consciousness movement was growing rapidly under Srila Prabhupada's direct supervision, and his visits inspired devotees in ISKCON centers around the world. Srila Prabhupada had only recently come from Hyderabad. There, Shyama Sundara, Prabhupada's secretary for over 2 years, had become involved in a business venture. Several men had persuaded him to buy shares in a ruby mine. Shyama Sundara had begun digging up a rough corundrum to bring back to the West and sift it for the valuable clear rubies. When devotees asked Prabhupada what he thought of Shyama Sundara's new business, Prabhupada replied, "If he wants to do it, let him do it." Shyama Sundara had rendered him significant service as his secretary and in helping to pioneer Krishna consciousness in England. And Srila Prabhupada, as Krishna's representative, was grateful, but he did not seem much impressed or interested in the mining prospects. On his way to Zurich, Shyama Sundara, carrying about 90 kilos of rough corundrum to sell, visited Srila Prabhupada in Bombay. When Srila Prabhupada expressed his desire to rest for a couple of weeks from his traveling and management, Shyama Sundara described a perfect 2-week stay for Prabhupada at St. Moritz, the famous ski resort in southern Switzerland. It was off-season, he said, and tourists would not be there. The clean mountain air would be very healthy and pleasant. He even showed Srila Prabhupada postcards of mountain sites covered with wildflowers. Srila Prabhupada agreed. But when they arrived in Switzerland, it was cold as winter. Prabhupada, Shyama Sundara, Shruti Kirti and Pradyumna took a luxury train up the mountains, curving and circling along the mountain paths to the resort. Srila Prabhupada's servant Shruti Kirti watched out the window, remarking at the beauty of the snow and mountain peaks. Everything was white. Prabhupada was silent but finally asked, "What do they call this place?" Shruti Kirti replied, "St. Moritz, Srila Prabhupada." "They may call it St. Moritz," said Srila Prabhupada, "but I call it St. Helish." He then pointed out that the beautiful snowscape was lifeless. He did not like seeing simply branches of trees and snow. It was only emptiness without variety. Where were the advertised wildflowers and green hills and beautiful climate? It was as if Srila Prabhupada had somehow been tricked on a pretense to come to a very cold, wintry mountain top, a place useless for his purposes, St. Helish. Prabhupada rode Giriraj in Bombay, tropical Bombay, Juhu Beach, a truly important place that drew Srila Prabhupada's thoughts and desires. We have reached Zurich yesterday morning and have come to the health resort of St. Moritz. The apartment is very nice, but it is so cold that we cannot go outside. Probably we shall go to LA via New York on the 5th of April. Immediately after their arrival, it began to snow, although unusual at this time of the year. With ironic disgust, Prabhupada remarked, "I have come to Switzerland to stay in the snow." Shruta Kirti could find no dal or rice for Prabhupada. All he could find was farina. Prabhupada said he would show him how to make a farina chapati, but Shruta Kirti's attempts were unsatisfactory. There was no question in Srila Prabhupada's mind of staying 2 weeks at St. Moritz. He would leave as soon as possible. He asked Shyama Sundara to arrange to immediately get them out of St. Helish. There's just one page of Shruta Kirti Prabhu's description. I'm just thinking what I should read. Maybe I can read, and then there is the next day. Okay, so Shruta Kirti. One morning, Prabhupada wanted to go on his usual morning walk, but it was snowing out. The room had sliding glass doors opening from the living room onto a veranda. So Prabhupada said, "We shall go out for a morning walk. Let us see how cold it is." He opened up the sliding door, and a big blast of ice cold air came in. "Oh, it is much too cold," he said. "We can walk into the hallway here." So myself, Pradyumna, and Prabhupada went out into the hallway, and Prabhupada started his morning walk. He would walk back and forth a few hundred feet down this long hallway with just a whole bunch of doors going to the different rooms and an elevator. It was set up electronically so that whenever a door to a person's apartment would open, the light would go on automatically and stay on for like 30 seconds. After 30 seconds, the lights would go off automatically. Whenever you push the elevator button, the lights would go on and the door open. In this way, they were conserving energy. The lights were only to on when they were needed. It was expected that you would walk out of your room, the lights would go on, you would walk to the elevator, get in, and then the lights would go off. There was no waste of electricity. So we were walking up and down the hall for our morning walk. It was a half-hour walk. They had these light switches along the wall. We could walk along, and whenever we would come to a button, I would push it. And that would keep the lights on for about 30 seconds. We were walking back and forth, and I was regularly pushing the buttons. Then Pradyumna went inside. It was just Prabhupada and myself. We were walking along. And I had to keep regularly pushing the button, or we would be in darkness. Then Prabhupada told me he wanted to eat. He was feeling hungry because it was very cold. He said, "You can make halva this morning." I said, "All right, Srila Prabhupada. Do you want to wait until after your walk, or should I do it now?" He said, "No, I will walk. You can go make the halva." I said, "All right," and went inside, but then I realized that the lights were going to be out. So I told everyone inside the room, and we came to the door. We looked outside, and there was Srila Prabhupada walking up and down the hall, pushing the light buttons to keep the lights on while he chanting Hare Krishna on his beats. Meanwhile, Shama Sundara had invited Bali Mardan from New York to join them. Shama Sundara had information that the price of gold was rising, and they had planned to invest some of their money in gold. They intended to buy gold one day, sell it the next, and thus make a big profit. Bali Mardan arrived. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Yes.